This is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Now here's Chris and Dave.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lead 1212. We're excited that you're hanging out with us. We have a great speaker today. We're so excited about. Chris, tell us about our speaker today.
We are here with a true legend, the star of my favorite TV show, Sanford and Son. It's my honor to introduce Damon Wilson. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, and I say hi to all of your listeners and the woman that you said was your wife.
We weren't supposed to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, Damon, I would love to hear your salvation story. Can you share that with us?
I'm so far beyond that. I grew up totally ensconced in Catholicism. I was an acolyte, and my whole life as from the age of eight was centered around the church. But I brought my mom and my dad out of the dark side into the light through the Catholic Church. Now, one might say, but you went from the dark side to a lighter dark side, which is true, but there are many roads that lead to the Most High. And what the Lord saw in me that I was born with was a talent for entertaining as a dancer and a singer and all of that, and the love in my heart for him. So the Lord's call was on my life. My kids were in private parochial school. We were living in Bel Air, Beverly Hills, and I have six adult progeny. I took the Lord literally when he said, go forth, be fruitful and multiply.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
And so I have four adult daughters and two adult. My oldest is 48, Nicole. My second born, Melissa, and they both live in Atlanta with my granddaughter. My second, Melissa, is 44. My oldest son, Christopher, who hits a golf ball 320 yards, he's a beast, this kid.
My goodness.
I put a golf club in his hand when he was 8 years old.
Wow.
He is a monster. And his brother, Damon Jr., who never wanted to be known as Damon Jr. until he started working in the corporate world, and people say, hey, do you know who your dad is? No, do you know whose name you have? And he said, yeah. That's my dad. And they said, wow, we're going to do business with you. So now he's Damon Jr. Raskin. He's 41. Tabitha is 36. And my baby, who's been married 5 years and has her doctorate, she is 32. She's the one that I came off the road for. And my personal touch was on her.
She has a doctorate. Beast. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, Sarah is 32, and she's married to a guy named Matthew right. Mahoney. Nice kid. But my baby girl, I'm still, when he comes to my house, I do this.
I got you. Yeah. Keep your eyes on him.
We've been married 5 years. I said, what happened to your bass in your voice? It went up. 5 years, Mr. Wilson. I said, yeah, still. Got you in my scope, son.
Yeah, boy.
So back to what your original question was. I've always known I came into the Catholic Church to christen my second born, Melissa, and my parents. I had sent for them. We had a rather large place in Bel Air. And I came down the aisle of the church holding my second born. And my wife, my mother, nudged my father. And she said, my dad's name was Grady Wilson. That's where the character came
from. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And no, that's what his parents named him. So that's okay. what he answered to. And my mom said, Bud, that's his nickname. Damon's going to preach. It's all over him. And I turned down a lot of money. After my third series, I was going to Florida to do my first revival. I had been studying, and I said to the Lord, until I'm imbued with the paraclete, with the pneuma, the spirit of the living creator,
yes,
I'm never going to eat again. And I'm up in my tower,
wow,
in Bel Air, up in my bedroom, and I took off all of my clothes, and I just sat on the floor. And about a day later, a voice spoke to my heart and said, are you ready to receive?
Wow.
And I got up, and I was trembling, and I went into the bathroom. Now, my bathroom window was closed. My bathroom looked out over a tennis court, but it was a small window. It was closed. And I went down on my face the way I came in the world, and I felt this warm breeze coming over me. And I jumped to my feet, and I put my clothes on, and I ran downstairs. My family were sitting at the breakfast table downstairs having dinner. And I wanted to say to them, honey, I just received the Holy Spirit. And all of this strange language started coming out of my mouth. I couldn't stop it. I felt like I was regurgitating. And my wife and my kids looked at me like, oh, my Lord, he's gone.
Oh, no.
And you know what? They were right. My wife would leave the house to drive the kids to school, and she would come home, and I would be in the formal dining room, bathed in sweat, preaching, just preaching. There was no one there.
My goodness.
And she thought I had lost my mind. It was all over me. It wasn't something I could contain. So I knew when people said, why did you leave show business when you went to the top? Well, yeah. I never would do that. I said, that's because I know what you don't know. I know the demonic force that's all over the world, but specifically it's in areas like Hollywood.
Amen.
Hollywood is the wood that witches conjure on.
Okay.
That big sign that you see, Hollywood.
Yeah.
You look up Hollywood, that's the wood that witches conjure. And I saw all of that. You don't get to the top in the industry unless you have help.
True.
When I came from Vietnam and when I got out of the military in 1968, I had to reestablish myself in the theater. I had grown up in the theater. I started on Broadway as a kid, and 2 years went by. I was drafted, and I was reestablishing myself, and I was doing gut bucket theater. I was doing off Broadway, and then I started doing off Broadway. And in those days, people like Al Pacino and the late Raul Julia, who's a buddy of mine, and we all did a film together in San Francisco. You don't get to the top in the industry, in motion pictures, in the recording industry. You do not get to the top simply because you're talented. Just take that out of your mind.
Sure.
It doesn't work that way. So when I saw the underside, the underbelly of what I was involved in, and I was at the top of my game. I did Sanford on NBC, Baby I'm Back on CBS. The New Odd Couple on ABC, yep. And Universal Studios had called me up, and they were praising me. I said, DeMond, come on over. I said, I don't come to studios doing regular hours. They said, come, tell us when you want to get here. I said, I'll be there at 4:30, 5 o'clock, maybe 5:30. They said, we'll be here. I got there. There was the director, the producer, and they were ready to start. They had a sitcom. They praised me for 5 minutes, and they said, this is a story about a black doctor who was tired of the city, moved to the country, and the people didn't trust him, and so the kids started bringing their animals to him, and he caught on in the community like that. They said, it's perfect for you, DeMond. You're a good guy. And they made the mistake of saying, what have you been doing lately?
Uh-huh.
Now, what they didn't notice, I'm standing there with, in those days, Sergio Valente jeans, and I had a little leather bomber jacket on. They didn't see my quarter pounder with cheese under my arm. That's what I call my Bible in those days.
Oh, okay.
A Hebrew Bible. Quarter pounder with cheese. They didn't see that. But they made the fatal error of saying, what have you been doing lately? And there was a year between the New Odd Couple and these guys. I stood there in the middle of the floor to the producer, the executive at Universal Studios, the director, and two writers, and preached the gospel unwatered down, no, just straight up, no ice, 20 minutes.
Wow.
And they shook my hand, and they didn't say anything. They were like, what the heck? I get home, and my wife said, I had an English Jewish manager, Bobby Littman. And my wife said, honey, you need to call your manager. And I called him. He said, oh, darling, what have you done? I said, what do you mean? He said, these people were going to pay you $150,000 an episode.
Oh, my goodness.
They said, DeMond doesn't want to act. He wants to preach. And the light said, bing, there it is. And I had no idea how that was going to happen. I'm living in Bel Air behind gates. Magic Johnson was down the hill. Jerry West was up the other end of the street. I had no, the only thing I knew was the Catholic Church and Reverend Ike. So you could see the dilemma. That was a joke. Hello? Is this on? So you could see the dilemma. I'm studying. The Lord is saying, I'm going to open your ministry. I had no idea how that was going to happen. I'm sitting in the breakfast room. My gardener, Roldan Ramos, it's the time, kicked over the lawnmower. And I said, you see, that's just like the adversary. I'm trying to study and he's disrupting me. And the spirit said, go witness to him. I didn't speak Spanish, so I don't know how I'm going to converse with this guy. So I go out there and I start talking to him. Come on, guys, calm down. This is you playing. This is serious. I go outside and I start talking to this guy and I started, the Lord gave me the word of knowledge into his life. I didn't know him for anything other than my gardener. Uh-huh. And I said, Rodan, you're married. Yes, he said, see. I said, where's your wife? He said, Mexico. I said, are you faithful to your wife? You're not, are you? He said, no.
Wow.
And I said, how would you feel if she was doing that? Anyway, long story short, I asked him what he knew about the Most High. He said he wasn't in the church. I said, I want you to say the sinner's prayer. Will you do that for me? And the Lord will come into your life and bless you and your family. And he did. And we knelt down in front of my tennis court, or was it in front of the house? And we knelt down and I led him in the sinner's prayer. And I said, Roldan, I'm going to find you a Hispanic speaking church. I ran to the phone. The only number I knew was 714-2000, which was Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
I stayed on the phone and it was bam. I hung up and I tried to walk away. The Holy Spirit said, stay right there. The bam, bam. After a half an hour, I got through. A lady came on the phone and she said, Trinity Broadcasting Network, praise the Lord. Who am I speaking with? I said, I just led my gardener to the Lord. No, she said, what can I help you with? I said, I just led my gardener to the Lord. Can you find me a Hispanic speaking church? I said, I know there's one in Culver City. And she said, like women do, women are going to be a mother. It don't matter how old you are, how young you are, they're going to be a mother.
Sure.
And she said, your voice sounds awfully familiar. Who am I speaking with? I said, Damon Wilson. She said, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. I said, okay. She said, 4 years ago, we came to California and we were turned around up in Laurel Canyon and we didn't know how to get out of the canyon and nobody would stop. She said, did you drive a silver and black a Rolls Royce with D-M-O-N on the plates? And I said, you're not the police, are you? She said, no. I said, yeah, I did. She said, you stopped and you asked us if you could help us. And we told you, and you didn't tell us. You took us down to Sunset Boulevard. I never forgot that. She said, what are you doing now? I said, I'm waiting on the Lord. He promised me some things, and I'm waiting on him.
Wow.
And she said, hold on. She went to the phone and got Paul and Jan Crouch, and they got on. I did one show, and my ministry just blew up world.
Amazing.
We serve Incredible. An amazing God.
Amen. Yes, we do.
100% we do. Tell me about it. Tell me about your ministry and leadership and the things that you've had to grow through as you applied leadership and ministry.
What happened was because of being an entity, I got invitations. I'm telling you guys, you got to read this book. I got invitations from the top, from the leaders of all denominations, from the Church of God, the big boys, from the Pentecostal assemblies, the big boys. The Baptist Circle, the big boys, the PAW. You don't base your theology on a lesser doctrine. People said, are you baptized in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, he's one of them. There's a couple others that went in there with him. You don't mind, do you?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm a funny guy. They just pay me for doing this. My calling was not as a pastor. You got the fivefold ministerial gifts. You got prophets, evangelists, pastors. Teachers, you have to abide in your calling.
Yes.
And my calling was itinerant. I had to get out to the masses because the Lord didn't give me notoriety for me to sit down in front of 150 people every Sunday.
I'd like to ask you something about Sanford and Son. Going back to your first answer, your father's name was Grady Wilson. Did you get to name the character on Sanford and Son?
We did, Red and I, yes. His name was John Elroy Sanford. His late brother was Fred Sanford.
Fred
G. Sanford. Fred the G stands for gravy if you got any. If you ain't got no gravy, that's not what it is.
I never knew what the G stood for because it seemed to change all the time.
It depends on what he needed. The G stands for gravy if you got any. If you ain't got gravy, that ain't what it stands for.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, we did. We named absolutely. And also Lamont, when Red ran away from home, he joined a tramp band. Oh, and his best friend was named Lamont.
So I know from reading your book that you two had such a close relationship. He even called you son for the rest of his life, from what I remember.
Yeah, Father, he hurt me at the end. I never voiced it, but he hurt me at the end. I was walking down the hall, and Abernathy, who was the anchor at NBC in those days, came up to me and he said, "Damon, how does it feel?" I said, "Huh? What, walking down the hall at NBC?" He said, "No, the end of an era." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You didn't read the trade papers today?" I said, "I don't read the trade papers any day. What are you talking about?" He said, "Red Hat, it was on the front page, Sanford and Son, this is it for him. This is his last season." And I was hurt because we always ran things by each other. When we started out, it was a mentor-student. Then it became more of a father-son relationship. And then later on, after the third season, it was younger brother, older brother. I remember I went to Fox one day and I said, "Red," he said, "Whatever." The people would come to Red, they'd say, "Fox, we want to do this and that." "Go ask my son. Whatever you're going to do, that's what we're going to take a nap."
Man, you sound dead on.
Oh, wow.
So the roles were reversed. That's the way it's supposed to be in life. Men, well, they had a strong dad, and now he's old and feeble, and they leading him around in the mall and wiping his chin when he drops whatever he's eating. And
yes.
That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you're not supposed to bury your kids. They're supposed to bury you.
That's true.
And your sons are supposed to take over. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen in my household.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Your man is sharp.
Okay. I think we're just about running out of time. Wayne, do you have any questions for DeMar?
A lot of people in the world are running out of time.
I understand that.
Preach it. We all are.
Man, that's the truth.
I came out the gate like Boo Boo Shoop. You said, "Oh my gosh, who loosed him on us?"
I've enjoyed every second of it.
I don't have a question. I mean, it's just, it's been a privilege to listen. Like, you're right. Your story, what you shared, would not have guessed it in a million years. But since I've been a follower, I've come across a lot of people, and they have a lot of different beliefs, and not many have been able to articulate them the way that you have. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, brother. It's a calling. I can't take any credit for anything that I've done. He trained me up in the theater, and he said, "Now take those gifts and take what I've placed in you." I prayed for, and I still do, Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name, I pray for wisdom. I pray for knowledge. I pray for increased faith. I pray for healing. I pray for miracles. I pray for discernment. Mm-hmm. I pray for the 9 indwelling manifestational gifts to loom large in me. And you have not because you ask not. You receive not because you ask amiss. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, give me a wife. Lord, give me a new house. Lord, give me a car.
Yes.
And people say, the word says, whatsoever things you ask, they shall be given. And I've been asking. I'm not getting anything because you're not asking for the things that matter to the Most High.
Amen.
His gifts.
Absolutely
not
right.
This earthly mess.
Yes. Boy, and that's what it is.
For weeks, I've been praying for the anointing.
Keep on.
That's amazing.
I gotta
wow.
go. Love you.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a blessed week.
You too.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.